The Sully Watson House. This podcast was created by Marsha Obukowitz, Elaine Adam, Sonia Rohde, and Bev Pilarczyk, with the assistance of Milwaukee Public Museum curator Al Mushka. Welcome to the home of Sully and Susanna Watson, early leaders of Milwaukee's black community during the 1850s and 60s. Their journey melds the personal stories of an individual family navigating the tumultuous politics that led to America's Civil War. Looking at the Watsons in this exhibit, it may surprise you that Susanna would be breaking the laws of the southern states in which she had once lived. Any ideas on what she's doing that looks illegal? If you guessed reading a letter, you'd be right. By the 1850s, many southern states made it illegal for black Americans to read. How could the simple act of reading threaten their southern way of life? Milwaukee Public Museum curator Al Mushka explains.
The act of reading is something that's wonderful yet terrifying to many people in 19th century America, especially in the southern states. The idea that a black person could read and write put them on an equal footing with other Americans, and that just was not acceptable at the time.
The Watsons' journey began in Virginia in the mid-1800s. Susanna Costello was born a free woman and was educated by her family. Sully, a slave, worked to buy his freedom. Receiving special permission to marry, they had four children, three daughters and a son. Susanna's status as a free woman, per Southern law, kept her children free. Once Sully was freed, they stayed in the South until new slavery laws threatened their precious freedom, forcing them to move first to Ohio and then to Wisconsin. What factors drive a family like the Watsons to move or migrate? Curator Mushka explains.
Ohio, over the course of its statehood, enacted a number of what were called black laws. These were restrictions and guidelines for how black people should act, behave, or be penalized if they misbehaved. An entire body of laws, hundreds of laws. And this really did circumscribe how far they could go, what they could do, who they could do business with, where they could live.
Pre-Civil War laws, such as the Fugitive Slave Act, threatened the life of a free black American in the South. The danger was real, being returned to slavery a possibility if the Watsons stayed in Virginia. Some slave hunters often disregarded Freeman papers. Free blacks needed white sponsorship, and some northern states demanded expensive bonds before free blacks could move in. What opportunities were available to the Watsons in Wisconsin? Curator Mushka.
When the Watson family arrived in Milwaukee in 1850, Milwaukee was a bustling town of about 20,000 people. Of that 20,000, there were only about 100 black people. When you look at the distribution of Milwaukee at this particular time, they are not segregated in one particular area, but they are found throughout the city, around the downtown area, and then into the newly opening outreaches of Milwaukee. And when I say outreaches, I mean 16th Street.
The city provided a window of opportunity for skilled workers such as Sully as a stonemason and Susanna as a seamstress. What was the Watsons' lifestyle like? The family was comfortable by black American standards. Their strong work ethic, education, and the fact that as highly skilled workers, Sully and his son were able to earn comparable wages to white workers, all contributed to the family's success. They had enough money to purchase several plots of land and build their own home. The family started a number of businesses, including a masonry business and a barber shop. They were heavily involved in church and community affairs. Their son William advocated for the black right to vote. A Watson granddaughter, Mabel Ramey, was the first woman of color to graduate from Marquette Law School in 1927.
There was a certain amount of activism, and they were really able to be a vibrant part of the community, and that was really the hallmark of the black community in 1850s Milwaukee. Their vibrancy, their willingness to be part of the community and build things, and not just the buildings, but lives for themselves.